You're listening to Podketeers.
Welcome to episode 512 of Podketeers. This week we talk about Mel checking out her first SpaceX launch, the recent eclipse not giving me any superpowers, that was disappointing, some awesome new bots coming to Galaxy's Edge, Imagineering releases a new YouTube series called We Call It Imagineering, and we give our thoughts on the changes coming to the Disability Access Service, also known as DAS, coming to Disneyland and Walt Disney World. Quick note though, at one point I start talking about WrestleMania and Cody Rhodes and him finishing his story and how the whole storyline had some parallels to Avengers Endgame and stuff, but if wrestling isn't your thing, I kind of got a little carried away, so I would say fast forward a bit to around the 45 minute mark, and then you can, like, you know, avoid the whole conversation. But if you're interested in hearing it, then, you know, I give you a quick recap of how it all started about 10 years ago and kind of ended up where it ended up. Anyhow, we would love for you to join the conversation over on Instagram, Facebook, Threads, or YouTube, but we would love for you to join us on Discord. Joining the community is super simple. Just head on over to podketeers.com/links and click on the Discord button to join our community. Before we jump into the episode, we would like to take a moment to acknowledge a very special group of listeners known as the FGP Squad, our podcast fairy godparents, because it's their support via Patreon that help make these episodes of Podketeers possible. As part of the FGP Squad family, you get some additional perks like exclusive discount codes for Podketeers gear, additional content that we've uploaded to Patreon, access to our happy hour calls when we get a chance to do those, giveaways, and more. For more information on how you can become part of the FGP Squad family, we invite you to go to podketeers.com/FGP. And of course, a super special thank you goes out to the FGP Squad for their continued support. That's it. It's time to jump into the episode. If this is your first time hanging out with us, welcome. We hope that you enjoy the episode and that you come back for more. And of course, if you've been hanging with us for a while now, welcome back, friends. Here is episode 512 of Podketeers. I feel like I'm going to need to apologize in advance. I have a fan on in front of me because it is ridiculously hot in here. For some odd reason, I'm like steaming up my glasses.
All verklempt.
I don't know what's happened. Yeah, I'm verklempt, exactly. I don't know what's happening. I just know that I feel really warm. I'm sweating, and can I take my hat off to help the heat? Possibly. But it would also reveal the chia pet head and the hat head associated with wearing the hat for the last hour to 2 hours.
Cha-cha-cha-chia.
So that's not an option at this point.
Ha-ha-ha-hazen.
So at this point, I may have to, like, take my glasses off or, like, just open them up a little bit so that the airflow gets inside when I can't see anymore.
You need, like, one of those. You need, like, a fan, like a hand fan.
Oh, maybe. You know what's funny, though? I guess technically, if you're Meller are speaking, I can mute myself. Uh-huh. Because mm-hmm. then I can, like, I have something covering the fan so that it kind of is,
yeah,
like, there's airflow this way. But obviously there isn't enough. And I have it, like, on the one setting so that you don't pick it up on the microphone. Because anyone out there that has edited audio before understands what a pain in the butt it is to remove stuff like that. In some cases, it's easy. And in some cases, it will take you hours of remastering. And it is not fun at times. So I want to find, like, this middle ground because we're going into the summer, mm-hmm. right? Mel brought up, like, I need to figure something out because it's, like, summer is very rapidly approaching. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle it in this room this summer. So I got to figure something out.
Bucket of ice and stick your feet in.
Not out of the question at this point. Like, I'm...
Get a
honestly, if I did that,
knowing how hot this room can get, it would last a good 20 minutes maybe. And then it would start to just get warm in the bucket.
I figured it out. Okay. Mini fridge full of water and ice. You plug that sucker in, leave the door open. There you go.
Done that. Done that. I'm not against it. I like the bucket thing, though.
Bucket of ice. Stick your feet in. Your little toesies.
Yeah.
Even styrofoam tub? Could it
That's not a bad idea.
Oh, yeah. Big, giant hydro flask. Stanley cups. Stick your feet. You know, the ice doesn't melt.
Big solo cups.
Yeah. You know, you need the double wall insulation.
The insulated, yeah.
That's get funny. That
big
get the
igloo cooler,
Yeti cooler, and cut two holes in. Stick your feet in. There you go. Double wall vacuum insulation.
DIY. There you go.
You know what's funny? It's probably cheaper than getting one of those Dyson fans, the ones that don't make any noise.
Probably.
It's probably cheaper to do that. So yeah, you're gonna have to bear with me today because
that's
it's
okay.
So, what a weekend for me. I know, Mel, you had some exciting sights. Mm-hmm. You're going to talk about what you had a chance to see. I thought that was super cool. But, yeah, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about my weekend. Talked a little bit about it last week. I'll try to keep it brief. I'm going to talk about WrestleMania because, yes, it happened this past weekend. We're going to be talking about the cool new stuff at Galaxy's Edge, a new YouTube series by WDI, and the big news that's been floating around, which was a rumor, kind of confirmed, and all that stuff, about the DAS system, the Disability Access Service at Walt Disney World and Disneyland. It's going to be having some really big changes very soon, actually. So all that is coming up in this episode, but before I jump into my WrestleMania thing, Mel, tell us what you had a chance to see and what the experience was like.
Sure. Sorry, I didn't mean to like kind of interrupt in your intro.
So excited.
I was just excited. We got so much cool stuff to talk about this week.
So Saturday, I actually found out about 25 minutes or so before the launch. So SpaceX had their rocket launch, and I've never had a chance to actually see it. I've seen it through pictures on Instagram. You know, everybody posts it, and it's like I always miss it. I always do, but this time I was like, I finally got word of it, and I'm like, okay, Northeast, I got a clear shot. I got a clear view, especially in my area. We have a parking structure that goes really, really up, really high, and I was kind of like a kid because I was listening to like the information and just being like, just listening to see if anything were to happen or whatever. And so I asked Jerry, I'm like, hey, do you want to see this with me? I go, I've never seen it before. So he's seen it before, but he was able to show me like what little things happen. Like when I try to look for it, it was during the sunset and I was trying to pinpoint where everything was because I don't know if there was a small cloud next to it. And I was like, that's a cloud. Where's the starting point? And then poof, I just see it and it just comes up, keeps going. And I'm like, this is so cool. Like, you know, I just turned into a kid in that moment. I was like, this is awesome. And I'm still listening on my phone to the NASA, you know, through SpaceX, I believe. I was listening to it. But anyways, so as I'm watching it and listening to it, and it was just so clear that I was able to see, like, the little dots just poof. Like pop off.
That's awesome.
So it was like you're watching it and then you see the first detachment and then it keeps going. And then it was so cool because it was the first time I saw something that went, I don't know how to describe it. It just looked like magic to me because it was just a cool experience and stuff. So I did take video. Of course, I was like so into it and whatnot. I forgot for a moment that I was recording, so some of my videos like up and then it's like, oops, come back down.
That's funny.
But yeah, it was really, really cool. Like, it was perfect to just be up there. Nobody was up there. It was just us two. It was cool.
That's cool.
That is awesome. Yeah, one of my, like, items that I would love to see in person is just any rocket launch. And, mm-hmm. and I don't mean, like, from afar. Like, seeing it from afar, I think, is cool. I've never done that either. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you got a chance to see it even from afar, already, like, something that's on my list, right? But being at the location when the rocket is going up and seeing all the smoke and everything, like, it's something I've always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Seeing a shuttle up close, I got an opportunity to do that years ago when they were moving Endeavor through the streets of LA to take it to the Science Museum. They did it a block away from where we were working at the time. This is really close to Randy's Donuts. So anybody that knows the Los Angeles area has watched Iron Man, Scarf Down Donuts. That is the location that Endeavor was dragged through across the 405 freeway. And we were working right down the street from that area, and it was such a cool sight. They were filming, I think, it actually lasted longer there because they were filming a Toyota commercial for the Super Bowl.
Oh.
I think that evening where the Tundra, I think, was supposed to drag it as part of the commercial. Anyway, like, the fact that you got to see this live, and here's the detail that you said that you got to see, like, the little like the things fall off, and you got to see the it's just so cool. I love it. So cool. Andrew, have you ever seen a rocket launch?
I don't think I have, you know, other than, the Astro Orbiter. I have not seen any kind of rocket launch or one of those, like, you know, you stomp on it and it shoots in the air. I had a model rocket as a kid where you put the little rocket engine in and you light it and it's in the parachute.
Oh, I've seen those before. Those are cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But nothing, professional.
Could you reuse those rockets, or so was it like a one-time deal?
You could reuse the rocket. You just had to put a new engine in it. So it was just basic. I mean, the rocket, at least the ones I had, was just like a cardboard tube with a plastic cone on the top and a plastic, like, the fins. And then you would, like, take it apart and you'd put the engine in, which is like the gunpowder, basically, or whatever. So it is,
it's basically a low-grade firework.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then the
got
like
it. Okay,
the, the nose part had a parachute in it, and so it went, you know, shoot up, and then the parachute would somehow come out. I don't know how it would come out, and it would fall to the ground somewhere in
magic.
The vicinity, hopefully not in like somebody's backyard. You'd always have to do it in like a huge field or something to not lose your rocket.
That's super cool. I love it. Hey, I see that the shirt that you're wearing. Is that you on that shirt?
This is not me. No, this is John Reese Davies. This is Sala, actual Sala, not me, Sala.
I'm gonna get a shirt where I need you to pose like that so I can put you on a shirt and wear you on a shirt.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we have a picture of that somewhere. I can send it to you.
My fit is different. I'm rocking this one today.
It says Foolish Mortal if you're just listening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry if you're listening.
Right.
My shirt is a picture of Sala from The Attraction.
And then I keep forgetting that.
Now we have, like, the whole death thing, so
yeah, Melissa's
that.
Got...
Yeah, the Coco shirt.
Yes.
Love it.
Did any of
both,
you guys...
By the way, before you jump into that, Andrew, both the Foolish Mortal shirt that I'm wearing and the Papel Picado shirt that Mel are wearing, both available at podcateers.com/gear if you're interested in owning one for yourself through the magic of editing. I'm going to put it up on screen right now so you can see it. And you can see the shirt. And you can see podcateers.com/gear. And here's the Foolish Mortal shirt, in case you're also interested. Both are available through the magic of editing and through your orders on podcateers.com/gear. Back to us.
I hope it's on this side.
I think I'm probably just going to add the entire square, like the quotes or something.
Oh, mm-hmm. So me just moving, flaring my hands all around. I'm doing this behind the thing and nobody can see it.
Do you want me to edit so that we're on the side for that?
It's okay. You could do whatever you want. It's okay.
I think that should be a reel.
Yeah.
It like a blooper.
Yeah. I have to say I'm having some fun finding ways to fit. I mean, because obviously the episode is, you know, 16:9. It's widescreen for YouTube. Mm-hmm. But figuring out a way to fit some of the elements for an Instagram reel have been an interesting thing as we kind of step more into the video world and everything. So far, I've liked the couple of different ways that we've, you know, had like the format of them. This last week, I finally went to a more like rectangular cut for us because we had like the cool hexagons and it was kind of like a hidden Mickey and everything. So the people that caught on to that, like, you did it, because yes, it was a hidden Mickey. But it does take up an additional real estate that we could use, especially now that I'm trying to get into adding more captions to the videos. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's all experimenting and getting comfortable with it. So for everybody that's been watching the reels and joining us on YouTube, you know, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. Tell your friends, share it, let people know that you get to see this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you ring the bell, and you smash the thing, and you click the thing for the notifications, and the whatever. I don't know.
Nailed it.
Right, and make new friends.
We did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smash it, and click it, and ding
smash
it,
and, like.
And check the box, and what? I don't know.
My kids laugh, or they used to laugh. I haven't done it in a really long time, because I would joke whenever I was recording a video. There's a lot of YouTubers that I really admire. One of them is a photographer that I briefly met a long, long time ago. He's also a magician, but he's gone on to do some amazing things as a photographer. His name is Peter McKinnon. And whenever he starts a video, he's like,
"What's up, everybody? Peter McKinnon here. Welcome back."
And it's always the what?
Yeah.
Like with the B, the whole like, "What's up" emphasis. And my kids used to laugh so hard whenever we would do that, even when we were playing around, supposedly recording our own videos, like in the living room. Mm-hmm. And they're like, "Dad, you have to start it like that." I was like, "I can't. That's like gimmick infringement. I can't like steal the guy's bit. Like that's his thing, right?"
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, it's bad enough. Like every one of us wanted to edit like Casey Neistat when we were doing Disney vlogs at like the peak of Disney vlogging. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, I thought I made a couple that were good enough to meet the criteria.
Well,
they didn't get the views that Casey's videos got, but yeah, I did a good job. I'll give myself the credit.
Well, I don't know who this Casey person is, but I know who Hazen is, so good for you.
Same.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Let's see.
Did any of you guys, now that we're past it, did any of you guys go stare at the sun the other day?
With glasses?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you?
No, I forgot, and I was at work.
Oh,
it's okay.
No.
I saw the one in 2017, which was better for where I'm up here in NorCal.
Yeah.
It was, okay. I think, a little better because I would have got like little tiny line, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Pretty much what happened this time around. The eclipse fever, I think, grew over the past 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
And as it got closer, there was conspiracy theories and stories about the Appalachian Mountains, especially considering that the entire East Coast had an earthquake. Like
it was
a
like 5. Somewhere
0,
like Pennsylvania 4. 8 or something.
Or something.
4. Like,
yeah,
like New Jersey felt it. I was like, and the epicenter was in the Appalachian Mountains, right? And so they're like, people were saying that the route of the eclipse coincided with it and that giants were going to awaken.
Nice.
I personally was hoping that I was going to get superpowers from the eclipse because, you know, save the cheerleader, save the world. But it didn't happen like that. I didn't get anything. I was pretty upset. However, Because we couldn't get the glasses to view the eclipse directly, I fell back on this old trick that I learned back in elementary school where you take like a cereal box, you basically a camera obscura, right? Like you create a couple of holes in it, you add a little pinhole on one side, and it projects the eclipse onto the other end of the box. So my boys and I got together, we created a couple of those, and they went outside and we were like looking at the eclipse. So what you were talking about Andrew was true. We saw the circle, but then there was like a little tiny sliver at the top, which we could see here in on the West Coast. But either way, it was still a fun project. It was a cool way to see the eclipse without the glasses. Still sad I got no superpowers. Would have been nice. It would have been a nice change, actually, after the last few years. Superpowers would have been kind of sweet, actually. Well, but
maybe they just take some time to, like, to discover.
I've watched TV shows where they just kind of happen.
Maybe, like, maybe it's something that you don't know. Like, maybe you just have, like, super, like, hair-growing ability, and it's just,
I already
like,
had that.
Slow. Oh, yeah, okay.
I already had that. It's like Sasquatch, man. Like, I had that before the eclipse, so maybe I got it in 2017.
Maybe that's what I got. Super back pain. That's what it is. My superpower is back pain.
Oh, yeah. I got tons of that.
One of the coolest things that I don't think I've ever experienced was, so being outside... Yeah, we got to see it, but it was warm, or it was already getting warm, and when the eclipse was happening, it just got cooler, just slightly cooler. Nice. And I was like, this is cool. I had one of the students telling me, like, it's really cold, really cold. And I'm like, well, I explained what happened, and I'm like, to myself, I'm like, this is cool, because I don't think I've experienced that, because I think the last one was, I don't remember where it was, like where totality was. I don't remember, but
I think totality in 2017, it went from like the northwest, it went like down Oregon and like kind of swooped through the
I don't remember that, so
I looked it up the other one, because I remember watching the other one. We had the glasses for it for the last one, but yeah.
I know where I was.
Disneyland.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was sitting down, we had glasses. Yeah Wow.
That's cool. That's a good place to see it.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a lunar eclipse also recently that people were photographing?
I believe so.
Yeah, I remember one of my favorite things to photograph. Yeah. I remember one of my favorite things to photograph was sitting in Fantasyland near the Storybook Canals and photographing the Matterhorn when the moon was right above it.
Yeah.
And just like bracketing shots to try to get like a really nice moon shot right over the Matterhorn. And if there's anything I miss, is definitely photographing in the parks. Like doing that every weekend and not doing it anymore has just been like, ugh.
Yeah.
That it hurts, man, on so many levels. Let's see. Oh, WrestleMania. Oh, WrestleMania.
Are you ready?
Were you ready? That's how it started. I was not ready. It was a roller coaster, man. I was a wreck at the end. I was boohooing and everything. I was a Cody crybaby. Damn it! Aww. I don't care what The Rock called us. I was a Cody crybaby. So, I wanna try to give you the Cliff Notes version, because this is it. The reason I'm bringing it up, and I know people listening are like, "Well, this isn't Disney." Listen. The entire story that was laid out for this WrestleMania was so Avengers Endgame. it wasn't even funny how close it was, right? So here's what I'll say. Last week, I believe, we talked a little bit about how they were entering this like new era because they got a Netflix deal. There's a little bit more cursing. The Rock is dropping F-bombs and he's saying things that like in like this year, like this time would not be acceptable, right? But like his character is full-blown heel. He calls himself the final boss. The thing is that this story of Cody Rhodes, he's the son of the American Dream Dusty Rhodes, right? An old school wrestler, used to fight with Hogan and all these other guys in the 80s and stuff. He never won the WWE Championship, at the time the WWF Championship. And so he passed away several years ago, and Cody used to wrestle in the WWE. But he was always given these horrible gimmicks. And so people that may have watched in the 90s, early 2000s, may remember a character named Goldust, right? This real flamboyant guy with like gold clothing painted gold and black. Goldust was Dustin Runnels, Cody's big brother, also the son of Dusty Rhodes. And when they couldn't find something for Cody to do, they put him in a similar getup and they called him Stardust. And Cody committed. Like, to his credit, Cody went all in on this, but he realized over time that he was never going to get anywhere there. So he quit. He went off on the independent scene. He built himself up into this amazing character, this amazing wrestler that he called the American Nightmare, as an homage to his dad being the American Dream. So if you've ever seen my water bottle, there's like a skull with a crown and like the wings. That's the Nightmare Family logo. It's the thing Cody Rhodes has tattooed on the side of his neck, for those that have possibly seen his picture. Either way, you know, he went off into the independents. He created a brand new wrestling company in 2017, I believe, that rivaled the World Wrestling Entertainment Company because they were much grittier. They were much more adult. And at the time, Vince McMahon was stuck in this, like, he called it PG era, but it was more like G era. And it was really corny at times. It was like really geared to children because they wanted to make those advertising dollars with children.
Toys. And so,
exactly. And so in the 80s, it, like, watching wrestling was looked down upon by a lot of people. Like, if there's been one constant outside of Disney, it's been wrestling for me, because it was much more easy for me to consume wrestling because it was on network television. I didn't need cable to watch it or anything. It came on three times a week. My neighbors had a big satellite dish where when the pay-per-views would come on, they would invite us over to watch it and stuff. So I've been watching wrestling since the mid-80s. And so fast forward, Cody goes off, he starts his own company, and they're much more adult. It's what people now would have considered like the Attitude Era, with Stone Cold and The Rock and Triple H, like, you know. So this storyline that's playing out right now, or that basically culminated this past weekend, started in 2019. Because that's kind of the end of when Vince was like really pushing the character of Roman Reigns, but it just wouldn't click. People didn't like him. They hated him. They hated the fact that Vince was pushing him. And then the pandemic began. So then they were inside of a room with a bunch of TV screens that they called the Thunderdome. So they were never in front of people. Right. And in this time when the Thunder, like the Thunderdome saga of wrestling began, is when Roman Reigns came back, but he came back as what he called the Tribal Chief. He basically came back as this really arrogant, egotistical character that was doing, he said it was everything for his family. And in short, his lineage is like generations deep, like the Wild Samoans in the 80s, where his family, Rocky Johnson, was The Rock. The Rock, Roman Reigns, Yokozuna, like all these characters from the last like four decades are all family. And they, a lot of them wrestled. So there's like 70 people in this family that wrestle. Right? And so Roman Reigns come back as the Tribal Chief. He obliterates Bray Wyatt, the character of the Fiend that I really liked. He passed away last year after complications with his heart after he caught COVID. He was the Fiend, and Roman destroyed him on a pay-per-view, right? Jeez. So that was the beginning of the Tribal Chief. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to hurry. I know a lot of people don't want to hear this, but I'm trying to hurry.
Yeah, get to the part with the chairs.
Okay. Oh, it's coming. Don't you worry. Okay, so before all of this, right? 10 years ago, 2014 happens. Roman Reigns is teamed up with two other guys, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, in a faction called The Shield. And The Shield was super popular, super duper popular. And at one point, Seth Rollins wanted to go off on his own and become his own wrestler. So he betrayed Roman Reigns by hitting him with a chair in the back, beating him with a chair, and basically going off on his own, right? Okay, so fast forward, him and Roman have beef this entire time. The other guy, Dean Ambrose, goes off to this other company that's much more adult, and like he goes by John Moxley now, and people love him because he's like deathmatch guy, and he's always bleeding and stuff and whatever. So the Tribal Chief wins the title when he comes back, right? Mm-hmm. And in this modern era, title changes happen so frequently that they're almost meaningless. Like, John Cena's like a 16-time champion, but, you know, you had to lose it 15 times to be a 16-time champion, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Roman Reigns consistently held the belt for almost 1,400 days, okay? From the time he won it until this past Sunday, almost 1,400 days as champion. And that's unheard of because people's attention span is like, we need a new champion. But this Tribal Chief gimmick, the Bloodline gimmick, his cousins, the Usos, jumping in and becoming a part of this Bloodline, it was insane. He brought in a character named Sami Zayn, who he used to get what he wanted, and then he betrayed him, and they beat him up and everything. All right, so here's where it becomes Avengers Endgame, right?
Okay.
Right. So Sami Zayn goes off. His cousin Jay, one of the twins that was part of the Bloodline, leaves the faction because like he was treated like crap. So his cousin is now out. Sammy is now out, and Cody comes back to the company as the American Nightmare. Yes, take notes because there's going to be a quiz at the end. He comes back as the American Nightmare, and just takes the world by storm. His first opponent was Seth Rollins, former tag team partner of Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. Beats him up at WrestleMania. They have two more matches. One of them is super famous because Cody tore his pec, and in the entire match, all of this was purple, and he fought with a torn pec through the entire match, and it's like super famous now because of how bad the injury was. All right. So they develop respect for each other. They don't like each other, but they respect each other because they've battled each other, blah, blah, blah. Fast forward a couple years. Cody said he wanted to finish his story. That's how he dubbed coming back to win the title that his dad never won, to hand it to his mom and say, here's the belt that dad could never win.
Oh, geez.
Last year, he wins the Royal Rumble, which is a guaranteed title shot at WrestleMania. I'm so glad Andrew's taking notes. Goes to WrestleMania, comes super close, and loses to Roman Reigns. Why? Because the Bloodline interfered in every Roman match. And so when people thought he was going to win, they swerved everyone, and he lost. So he spent the last year on this redemption arc saying that he's going to find a way back to WrestleMania to beat Roman Reigns. Wins the Royal Rumble again. But by now, the Bloodline and Roman Reigns have obliterated everyone that they've seen, all the other wrestlers in the locker room, right? They've all been beaten up by the Bloodline. And so everybody hates them, especially Sammy, who was once a part of the Bloodline and got kicked out. Jey Uso, the cousin of Roman Reigns, who got beat up and got kicked out of the Bloodline. And so now they're friends with Cody. So Cody is getting ready to face Roman Reigns at this year's WrestleMania, and The Rock comes back. Also cousin of Roman Reigns. And he says, hey, Cody, look, I know you earned the right to face my cousin at WrestleMania, but this is a bigger match, The Rock versus Roman Reigns, so we're going to need you to step down. Here's the kicker. if it was a wrestler, that's like, you're crazy, dude. I'm not going to do that. What threw the story for a loop is that mm-hmm. The Rock, when Vince McMahon sold the company, the WWE, he sold it mm-hmm. to Ari Emanuel last year, the owner of the UFC. He created a company called TKO Holdings, who is now the owner of the UFC and the WWE. And The Rock is now a board member of TKO. So basically, he's the boss of all these wrestlers. So he basically, as the boss, came in and said, listen, as your boss, I'm telling you to step down. I'm going to take this match, even though you earned it. That pissed people off.
Yeah.
So now people are angry, right? Because Cody earned this. And so The Rock started calling them Cody crybabies and started cursing up a storm on social media. And it was, as the kids say, cinema, right? Like the back and forth between these characters was absolute cinema. We get to WrestleMania finally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so weeks before, as they're setting up this match, Sammy tells Cody, listen, I'm there for you, whatever you need. He never came. It was like, whatever. But Seth Rollins, former brother of Roman Reigns and The Shield, says, listen, I want to see you take down the Bloodline. And there's only one person that's suited to be your Shield. And people lost it, right? Because he mentioned The Shield. And The Shield was super cool because they were dressed in tactical vests, all in black, and they had like a call sign, and they would come down through the audience to the ring, and it was crazy. So anyway, so Cody agrees to get help from Seth. So they fight on Saturday. They fought 2 days in a row. On Saturday, they were supposed to. I know people are bored. I'm almost done. Just hang in there. Just a little longer, everybody.
I'm still listening.
Yeah, yeah.
I know.
But other people listening are like, what's happening? What is he talking about? This is not Disney related. Hang in there. I'm almost done. Andrew's running out of notepad paper. Trust me, I'm almost done. So Saturday, they fight. They have a tag team match. If Cody and Seth win, on night two, Cody gets to fight Roman fair and square, no interference. But if they lose, they fight under Bloodline rules, which means no disqualification, anything goes, right? Seth Rollins, okay, comes in on Saturday, helps Cody, but they lose. Now there's a disadvantage the next day. Sunday, Seth Rollins fights for his world title, loses his title because he was so beat up from the night before. Cody has his title match, and in the middle of the title match, everybody's like coming down to help, like Roman's beating up Cody, Cody's beating up Roman, and at one point one of the cousins comes in, beats up Cody, and we thought Cody was gonna lose again. He kicks out. All of a sudden, John Cena comes out. Right?
Could you see him?
I did see him. He was not invisible. John Cena comes out. He attacks Solo, which is the cousin of Roman, because Solo beat up Cena so bad months ago that he had to supposedly go away and heal. All right. So now Cena's fighting Solo. He gets him out of the way. Then the other cousin comes in, jumps in, and the brother, the twin brother, comes up and beats up the second cousin. Jimmy and Jay the Usos are beating up each other. Then Roman and Cody are fighting, and because Cena had come down to help Cody, The Rock comes down. And so The Rock is like going face to face with John Cena. This is like me like years ago, like, oh my God, I thought I would never see John Cena versus The Rock again. And here they are in 2024 facing off against each other, right? So there's all these like iconic wrestlers like coming out and everything. And so they fight. The Rock beats up John Cena. The lights go out. There's a The Undertaker appears in the middle of the ring. Face to face with the freaking Rock. And again, I'm like, what is happening right now? The Rock and The Undertaker is like a decade ago. I'm seeing this in 2024 again, right? So, and that's basically what was happening, right? There was all these iconic wrestlers coming out and stuff. And so The Rock gets beat up by The Undertaker. And then they roll out. And then and between like each one of these, like you heard John Cena's theme song, you heard Jey Uso's theme song, you heard The Undertaker's theme song, The Rock's theme song, everybody. All of a sudden, you hear the theme song of The Shield, which was the group that Roman and Seth were in together 10 years ago, right? And so you hear this, and so Roman's looking around like, what's going on? Like, who's coming down? And he knew that it was Seth, because Seth was like living rent free in his head. Seth comes in the opposite side of the ring with a chair again, similar to what he did 10 years ago, except that this time he was going to hit The Rock with the chair to get him off of Cody. Rock. Roman sees it, spears him, beats him down Seth is like off on the side. He's in pain. And Roman picks up the chair, and instead of Roman looking at Cody and beating him so that he could just keep his title, he turns around and he looks at Seth, and he's like, this is payback for 10 years ago, and he swats Seth with the chair. Cody sees this, takes advantage, hits Roman, lays him out, 1, 2, 3, Roman Reigns' historic title reign is over.
Wow.
All right? And so here's... Like, if you've stuck around this far, bless you for sticking around this far, because here's the comparison to Endgame. This story was building up years and years and years in the making. The original betrayal of the Shield 10 years ago played into the story and the mind games that started 6 months ago, when Seth injected himself into this Cody Roman storyline. When, in the entire story, Roman was basically Thanos, right? Mm-hmm. Cody was Captain America. And in the story, the way that I interpreted the whole thing, Seth Rollins was Iron Man, right? And it was the way that it was set up was when Cody was getting beat down and beat down, when you heard the first theme song hit, when like Cena came out to help, it was basically that, hey Cap, to your left moment, because the first guy came down to help, because the bloodline always was outnumbering everyone. And so now you have these iconic characters, John Cena, The Undertaker, The Rock, like everybody jumping into this crazy match, right? Mm-hmm. Like compounding this like insane scene, this battle scene. And to have Seth Rollins at the end basically lose his title, sacrifice himself, his body, to try to take down the bloodline, sacrifice himself through the chair shot for Cody to get the win, was the moment that he said, no, I am Iron Man.
Yep, that's what it sounds like.
And Cody won. And all of a sudden, all the wrestlers come out. It's like they started reappearing after the blip. All the wrestlers that Roman had beaten in the last 4 years all started coming out to celebrate with Cody. It was a crazy moment. It was such a Marvel moment. The storytelling, it was amazing. It's been the first time that I've been invested in a storyline like this ever. I've loved other storylines, and I've loved what they've done, but this one was so cinematic for the last 6 months. All the interactions, the production value, everything was so MCU that even if you're not a wrestling fan, if they put together like a documentary with like all the pieces together, it's a movie you can watch on IMAX.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
By the way,
and
not
for
crying.
All of you that stuck around, I was. For all of you that stuck around, thank you for indulging me in that. That's it. That's all I wanted
to
say.
So we got Solo. Is that what I said? Cena.
Yeah, it's a cousin. Yeah.
The Rock. The Roman Reigns.
Uh-huh.
Some cousins and brothers.
Yes.
Jimmy, Jay, Cody.
Yeah.
Undertaker.
Yeah.
Whoever, Seth.
That's Seth freaking Rollins.
Sammy.
Yes. Sammy Zayn, yes.
I think that's all the ones I got.
You forgot Undertaker.
No, it's right there. Undertaker.
Yeah. You said it. That's right.
Rock beats Cena. Undertaker beats Rock. Theme song. Chair.
Yep.
Spear.
You got it.
SWAT.
Spear. Yep.
Injected. These are all the notes I wrote.
I mean,
can you
they're
send
accurate.
Us a picture?
DQ
Productions.
That's accurate. That's accurate.
Wow. Dude.
Accurate.
Shield. WrestleMania.
Next time, I'll just have you write down the notes and we'll give the Cliff Notes
Cody
version.
Get help from Seth.
Yes.
Bloodline something.
How did
the
you
Rock
take that many notes?
Roman Reigns.
I was trying to speak so quickly
I couldn't
do
Ari
that.
Emanuel.
I had to like
TKO
just pay attention.
Holdings.
That's too much.
The Rock is a jerk.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, there's other words that I could use to describe The Rock's character right now, but this PG
that's
podcast.
What I wrote.
So,
yeah, but you know what? It seemed
it starts
to
with an A.
It seemed to get the point across and make you all excited about it. So I guess it was all for the best, right?
Trust me, there have not been many things in the last several years that have brought me as much joy. As
I don't know
story
if I've heard your voice be that excited telling a story.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there haven't been many things in years that have brought me that much joy.
The last time was when your last child was born. You were this excited.
Maybe.
Or maybe there's a new churro flavor in 2018. Who knows?
No, the last time I was this excited was when the Hatbox Ghost got added to the mansion.
Oh, yeah. That was exciting.
Yeah. This excited as far as like
crying.
Telling the story and everything, dude. I'm telling you.
Tell me about that. That'll be in one more month.
Boo hooing. Hatbox Ghost Day.
Yup. May 9th.
Nice. Oh, this time we won't forget. Last year we totally forgot. Yeah. I'll set a reminder so we can post something.
So. Set your clocks.
Yeah. So anyway, again, thank you so much for indulging me, everyone that's listening. I know that's not what you showed up to listen to, but it was just so good. The writing, I've always gotten a lot of crap for being a wrestling fan throughout my life because it's fake. Don't you know it's fake? Yes,
so
I know. It's pre-written, okay? But just
you
like you
TV
would watch
show,
a movie.
Same
like,
thing.
Much like a TV show, a play, a movie, it's a thing that's pre-written for you to enjoy. This just happens to be live every week.
Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Like, there you go.
Yeah.
It's fine. Like what you like, man. It's fine.
For real.
Did The Rock do a lot of that eyebrow stuff?
Dude, eyebrow stuff and a lot of like number ones with his hands, but not with the pointer finger.
Ah.
He
doesn't
I'm
care about his family friendly personality right now.
No. That's he drops so many F-bombs. In the last 3 weeks, that's been his favorite word on camera. And
stirring up controversy.
Yeah. Like, he's been going on TikTok and Instagram, like, talking smack for 20 minutes about Cody and the Cody crybabies and making him bleed and taking his blood to his mama. I was like, wow, this is
while
insane.
Drinking,
Terramana.
Terramana.
I'm
tequila.
Sure he was drunk, yeah. Yeah. With his new skincare line. What's it called? Have you seen that one? He's got, like, a new skincare line, yeah.
News to me.
Buddy, let me see.
See,
Rock,
I like The Rock, but I wouldn't buy skincare from him.
It is called Papa Tui. Yep. That is what it's called.
It's called Papa Tui.
Papa Tui. Yeah.
You know what?
I saw him do a skit with Guillermo from the Jimmy Kimmel Show where they were like at a spa together, like massaging each other and like...
I
cucumbers
love Guillermo.
In the eyes and everything.
I like
Guillermo,
too.
He's the best. All right. We should move on. That was a really long WrestleMania explanation.
Yay,
WrestleMania. Thank you for hanging in there again. So,
what else are we talking about today?
Let's talk about the BDX spots at Galaxy's Edge.
Boop, yay. Beep, boop, robot,
boop,
robot,
boop,
robot,
robot,
bot,
robot,
boop,
robot, robot.
So those were play tested a while back, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
They were play tested a while back. And I actually have a video that Larry took in the park.
Larry!
He recently got a
chance
to see them live. Let's take a look at this video. These are cute, man.
They are adorable.
Like little ducky bots.
Can I go hug one?
You know, the first...
Wow, the movement.
Yeah.
The first time I saw them, I could have swore the eyes were, like, connect.
Cute.
Like, the spacing
stuff.
But they got to be their own proprietary thing.
They remind me so much of, like, Baby Johnny Fives.
Yeah.
But they're so, like, expressive and, like, mm-hmm. they have, like, such a, like, big movement for yeah. being so
right.
small.
It's, that's cool.
Yeah, what I really like about them, too, is that they're so much more nimble and mm-hmm. they're so much better at keeping the balance mm-hmm. than other ones that they've put out recently.
Yeah.
I remember last year at South by Southwest when they did the skating robot? Like mm-hmm. it kind of looked like a Judy Hopps version.
Oh,
and
yes.
they had yep. like, so it did like a somersault and all that stuff. But even walking out, it was really rigid. It was yeah. like much more robotic and it pulled off the moves and everything. But these are so
fluid.
Much more organic and fluid.
Yeah.
Exactly. They just look so good moving around. There is just so many advancements at Imagineering. It's like, this is what excites me about the parks.
Mm-hmm.
Imagineering. And it's funny too, because I know I mentioned this on our text chat, but Imagineering has a new like series on YouTube.
Mm.
It's called, we call it Imagineering. So if you're not following the Imagineering channel on YouTube, just search for Walt Disney Imagineering. And there's one episode so far. The trailer, it's actually here. Let me bring up the trailer.
Today I'm walking the halls of Walt Disney Imagineering to show you things that no one else has gotten to see. How did the two of you work together to make this masterpiece?
Well, we battle.
Walt Disney Imagineering first started designing, planning, and building Disneyland.
Let me show you a little bit. It's not completed yet, but
this inspired all the great audio animatronic attractions around the world.
We start at the story. Story is key.
Walt Disney still inspires us to this day.
We're using new technology to bring characters to life.
A lot of work beyond just the 3D animation.
We're always looking for that new angle that's going to engage our guests.
And for the first time, we get to debut one of those very important characters. The guests are just going to love it.
That's what makes it all worthwhile.
We end up with a beautiful dance.
I started watching it, mm-hmm. and it's not very long into the episode where you notice, or you might notice something in the background that I think you'll appreciate.
There's really no secret
so
about our approach.
I should put the volume down before we get a copyright strike.
Yeah,
I'm sure that's for the
idea.
Trailer. We're going to get one anyway. But once this intro happens, Josh D'Amaro is going to come on screen.
Uh-huh. Are we going to be like that Leo like meme where he's like, "Ooh!"
We should.
Is that what what's going on, what I'm going to see, cuz I haven't watched this yet.
You'll see.
Josh D'Amaro.
Amaro.
Apostrophe Amaro.
And so look, the BDX bots are in this, and we're already seeing them in the park.
Yeah.
Yay. We saw Grogu back there.
Yeah, the magnifying glass.
Audio animatronics, episode 1.
Hi, everyone. I'm Josh. Today, I'm in one of my favorite places in the world, Walt Disney Imagineering.
Yuck, Sparrow.
Okay, hold on. Let me pause. There's something really special that's being worked on in this. The Imagineer in the back is working on it.
Some arm. Right? Is that what we're looking at, an arm?
The arm is actually in front here. Let me rewind a little bit.
I was so distracted by everything else.
I know. Trust me.
Hi, everyone. I'm Josh.
You see what she's working on back there?
I'm in one of my favorite
it looks like an
or
arm.
What's I know, but what's behind what she's working on back there?
A black thing.
No.
That's Candleman.
Uh-huh.
She's not working on Candleman,
no,
though.
She's behind what she's working on. I know.
I was
sorry.
Like,
I got excited.
Oh,
okay.
I'm like trying to move my head so I can see.
But see, look at that.
But what about truss
so
heads?
Cool.
It's so good. It's so big.
But what about Mater's teeth?
His teeth.
Everybody knows you have to work on his teeth.
And Captain Rex.
Yay.
And Zazu. This is defunct at animatronics.
Except these.
Well, the yeah. No.
Oh, they're so cute.
All right, we'll see you later.
And can we get excited about the Candleman back there, though?
Candleman! Yeah. Mandelcan. Tiki
I
Bird.
I love this.
Yeah, whatever. Blah, 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 blah. Let's look at a skeletal Ooh. Mr. Potato Head.
Oh, I right? love pieces like that. Like, that's cool. I am not even listening to what he's saying. I'm just looking
Parts
at everything.
Bins.
Trust me. You're going to want to watch this multiple times because I feel like every time. Okay, look. Look at the head up here.
Yeah.
I saw that already. Uh-huh. You're late to the thing. But what about parts bins? I wonder what kind of parts are in there.
Who knows?
Hey, look, little squirt.
There's so much eye candy. Oh, hey, look, I know the head. I know the head. I know the head. Challenged us to stay curious, to
dream big, and to always be thinking. Blah, blah, blah.
Going.
I'm Josh tomorrow.
Show more. That's what's happening. Yay. Right
here, yay. Charge our destinations around the globe.
So we're inviting you inside. Cat. Behind the
curtain so that little cat.
Bunny.
That's Bugs Bunny.
That's not Bugs Bunny.
I know.
Madonna's face for some reason. I don't know who.
That's Cher. Yeah.
Or Cher. Is that Cher?
All right. So anyway, Matthew Nelson takes you around Imagineering. Mm-hmm. I definitely watch this. It is a fantastic video. I can't wait for there to be more of these. But it took me multiple watches because every time you watch it, I couldn't pay attention at times because mm-hmm. I was like lurking around trying mm-hmm. to see what I could find on the walls or on the exactly.
Yep.
And so I found myself going back to it and to the point where I decided not to do that anymore. Watch it all the way through, try to listen, and then go back and watch again to see what else I could find. And then I was like Andrew, like Arrow.
Next. One second. Frame. I like going frame by frame. period. Comma. Period.
But it's fantastic. Definitely recommend watching it. It's on the Walt Disney Imagineering YouTube channel.
Was this episode the one where they're covering the Tiana stuff?
Yes, they okay. do talk about it. They show the animatronic. The animatronic is amazing. We've already kind of seen some of it because we've seen clips on Instagram and on TikTok.
But we haven't talked
reveal.
About that really, have we?
We have no. not. We haven't.
We have not.
I can actually fast forward to it so we could see a little bit about it and we can talk about it. But
I mean, there's here. Lots of animatronics that they revealed even in just the clips. It looks great.
Yeah,
I know.
And it's funny too because I know that last week they did a video where one of the Imagineers was revealing the additional characters that mm-hmm. are going to be part of Tiana's Bayou Adventure. But here, let me bring this back on screen. And here's the. I think we saw a clip of the Tiana animatronic.
Yeah, the Tiana one we've seen.
Yeah.
And he's dancing. That's a nice dancey man. He's like, look at dancing.
It's just so good. They're so fluid.
Oh, scary.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cute. How do you go about creating something as large as Lewis? He is one of the largest and most dynamic figures. Wait, so is he larger than Ursula?
I don't think he's
oh, no.
that
no.
in scale, but they said largest and most animated or whatever. Or
yeah.
Whatever. He's got lots of movement.
Yeah, as far as the intricacies of his movement, I think he's much more complex.
Oh, yeah.
They keep showing the Hidden Mickey. Got it.
Yeah.
Like, we see it. Just in case. But also keeps support of the costume and lets the costume
ride over that because all of these are animated. It's all part of his functionality. John. Boring. I forgot Gertie. No, I don't know what that dinosaur's name is. The walk-around one.
Lucky. I think it's Lucky.
Look at how animated the face is.
Yeah, even just without the like the fabric, all the skin and everything on it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I hope that they've also spent some time.
His eyes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I hope they've also spent some time as they've developed Lewis thinking about some of the like the skin issues that they've had with like Ursula and mm-hmm. Ariel and stuff on other attractions and applied what they've learned to like this animatronic or to Tiana's animatronic, for instance, because
yeah.
there's so much more movement than we've mm-hmm. seen in other animatronics that you have to imagine that the maintenance on these is is going to be a little more intense than it's been for others, right? Unless there's some kind of new material that they've developed that withstands the movements much more than they have in the past.
Well, yeah, in the one that we were looking at before, or the one with the costume on, it looks like it's some sort of like fabric, like fabric as opposed to like where like human based animatronics have like a latex or like a rubber or whatever, like skin. Lewis looks like it's like fabric, which like I think Ursula is as well, as like fabric. So I wonder if that like helps it. See, there's the one in the back. Also, that one said Lewis 5DL. So I wonder if there are five Lewis animatronics in the Disneyland one, or it's just like Station 5 or something. I'm looking at all the different signs and stuff that are around.
Look at the beaver.
So cute.
Let me rewind just for a second here. Look in the background. We saw the beaver.
Mm-hmm.
If you're watching this video for the first time, I didn't go far enough. Did I go back far enough?
Probably not. They'll probably show a wide shot.
It's fine. There he is. Okay. Mm-hmm. Who's this?
I know.
Mel, do you want to take a guess? Because I'm sure Andrew knows by now, but do you know who this is back here?
I don't, but I'm going to guess it's his little brother.
Yes, little brother.
Good guess.
That's for your little brother. Also, the symbol stand has a hidden Mickey on it. There you go, right there.
Cute.
Yeah, right here.
Tiny.
The speculation was like, is that Tiana and Naveen's child? Is that their son?
No.
It's like, no.
But he's at the end of the movie. He's like, I'm 6 and a half.
Yep. From our digital profile, seeing how it's going to translate
onto the figure. This is Lewis's animation. But this is like, it's really cool to like get to see like this like actual like programming details and like how things have changed from like having the like big mechanic thing that you wear to make the animatronic move into like just a software base. So it's got to be still a pain in the butt to do. Like, okay, I wonder how many of these you just like, you do this motor, then this motor, and hopefully they all work together at the same time.
Yeah.
But, just seeing all the lines is like, that's a lot.
So that looks like fabric to me, like
it
some
does
sort
look
of
like fabric. Yeah.
And I wonder, you know, I think what I'm most worried about is, I mean, I guess, you know, we just don't want this to be another Splash Mountain where everything's broken all of the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So hopefully that they're going to waterproof them and stuff.
The fabric does, it is worrisome, obviously, because it's really humid in there.
Yeah.
You know, so the last thing you need is for it to get all swampy under like Lewis's skeletal structure.
Yeah. But you know what? Maybe
we're giving
plastic
away the entire episode.
Maybe it's plastic fabric. I don't know. But those animatronics look cool. I know in one of the Instagram posts, they show we get to see a couple more of the animals. There was a Lottie animatronic. I think a different Tiana animatronic.
I'm telling you, the Walt Disney Imagineering has been doing a really great job over the last year of sharing a lot of the accomplishments and the advancements through social media. And I feel like this is just kind of the evolution of what they've been doing on social media. Mm-hmm. I think it's so funny to me that even like a decade ago, it was so difficult and so secretive to figure out what was happening in there. And unless you kind of knew somebody that knew somebody, or, you know, you were lucky enough to win some kind of contest to tour Imagineering, or D23 did a crazy thing where you got a chance to tour the studios and D23, like all that stuff, or read a book or went to D23 to hear stories. This was unheard of.
And now they're like, how about just a whole series where we just take you in and show you all this stuff?
Like the fact that we got things like the Imagineering story on Disney Plus, where they talk about Imagineering and they show us inside, and then we are getting this, we got the social media stuff. It's it's refreshing to see that Disney understands that the magic of the parks for many people is the park itself, right? They want to see the magic as it's presented. But it looks like they finally understand that the magic to other people is what goes into creating the magic of the park. And the fact that we're getting these behind-the-scenes things at D23, in these limited series, in these clips on social media, that's amazing. Because imagine how many children or how many people are watching this and they're like, I want to be... Like, there was always people that wanted to do that. But they didn't necessarily know. They couldn't figure out a path. And now, obviously, that information is much more readily available. But if you don't have all of the additional resources, somebody, like a kid, can watch this on YouTube and be like, oh, there's a lot of wires and some computers. It looks like some modeling software or something. And you actually get an idea of where your path can begin finally, right? Which is something that wasn't very well known to people. Like, one of the biggest questions I feel Imagineers always got, or maybe still get to this day, is how do I become an Imagineer? What should I study? Mm-hmm. What do I need to go into in order to become an Imagineer? And I'm going to tell you the truth. Everything that I know about Imagineering is anything that you are passionate about. There is no path to Imagineering. Imagineering is all about what you're passionate about and what you are extremely good at doing. Mm-hmm. If you are good at robotics, there's a place for you at Imagineering. If you are good at making clothing, there's a place for you at Imagineering. If you can model, if you can animate, there's a place for you at Imagineering. If you can design, if you can paint, if you can create amazing layouts, if you can come up with stories, there's a place for you at Imagineering. Imagineering isn't about one set of disciplines. It's a vast ocean of disciplines. Like, to the point where there are people that concentrate on making rocks look like rocks mm-hmm. in the parks. Okay? So if you've ever wondered, what is the path to Imagineering? The answer is simple. Anything that you are passionate about is your path to Imagineering.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Pretty much.
So, all right, before we move on, I do want to take a moment to thank a very special group of people. So can we do that?
Let's take a little bit of break.
Of course.
Awesome. Let's take a little bit of break. And let's thank a very special group of people known as the FGP Squad, our podcast Fairy Godparents, because it's their support via Patreon that help make these episodes of Podcateers possible. For more information on how you can become part of the FGP Squad family, we invite you to go to podcateers.com/FGP. There you will find a list of some of our top contributors, a little information on what the FGP Squad is all about, a link to our Patreon, and more. But if you have any additional questions or just want to reach out to us, feel free to. We'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have. You can reach out to us over on Instagram, Facebook, on YouTube, or we'd love for you to join us on Discord, podcateers.com/links. You'll find a link there for it. But being a part of the FGP Squad family gets you some additional perks, like access to additional content that we've uploaded to Patreon, discount codes for new Podcateers gear whenever we release that stuff, random giveaways, a special section of Discord, and more. So again, any questions that you might have, please feel free to reach out. We'll be happy to answer any questions. But to all of the members of the FGP Squad, we just want to send a huge thank you for your continued support. All righty. Let's see. What else do we have? Oh, right. The news that's been floating around everywhere, which started off as a rumor. Mm-hmm. And this is funny because when I first caught wind of this rumor, it was reported by a website that I tend not to put a lot behind right. when they say something because right. they're very clickbaity, you know?
Yeah.
And usually, well, I mean, we've talked about this before. Usually we wait for Disney to make an announcement about stuff like this. However, there is one source out there that seems to be well connected and gets a lot of this stuff right all the time. And that creator or that reporter is Scott Gustin.
Mm-hmm.
And so the news that we were hearing was that the DAS system, the Disability Access Service system at Disney, originally I heard it was just going to change at Walt Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
And then another news source reported that it was possibly going to be happening at Disneyland. And I thought, somebody must have just heard something, thought it was both parks when they heard Disney, and then it just kind of grew into this thing. And then Scott Gustin reported. And that's when we realized, oh, Disney hasn't officially said anything, but if Scott is saying that it is,
yeah,
it's kind of true at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for those who are not aware of the DAS system, it's essentially a pass that you could get at Disney parks. You used to be able to go into the Main Street USA. You can talk to a cast member and you would tell them that you had some kind of special need, and it was a pass that would allow you to have some accommodations, you know, so that you didn't have to stand in line throughout the entire day. They would kind of like move you to the side and just you would wait on the side instead of having to stand there. So there were additional accommodations for people with disabilities in order for their experience to be a lot better when visiting the parks. And the thing about the DAS system is that over the years, it has been abused by a lot of people. And this isn't anything new. Like, this is like 10, 15 years ago, I know people that were saying had things wrong with them in order to use this system because somebody told them it was a hack to not stand in line very long or whatever the case was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I knew, there was some policing of it, but not to the extent that it looks like it's going to be policed now by Disney. Andrew, do you want to talk a little bit about what we're learning so far about what's happening with it?
Yeah, so like you said, this seems to be to combat people taking advantage of the program for people that don't actually need it. There is some information here. I don't have it exact. I don't know exactly where it is, but it was somewhere they said they saw in the last like 5 years or something, the requests for DAS passes have gone up fivefold in that time, which is a lot. Mm-hmm. And they are, I'm assuming, attributing that to people that are using it and abusing the system. But the changes will be effective, I believe, starting in May or June. Let's see. Effective May 20th at Walt Disney World and June 18th at Disneyland. Yeah. So this is for folks that need it's not necessarily for people that are like in a wheelchair, because a wheelchair is kind of, you just go where the wheelchair line is. This is for people that may have disabilities or differing abilities of being able to stand in line for a long amount of time, or dealing with confined spaces, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a whole different host of things that would qualify you to get this pass, to be able to basically either skip the line or wait in a different area until your time becomes available, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just a thing to help people with differing abilities to be able to enjoy the park. The changes seem to be, there will be, it says, notable changes. DAS advanced pre-arrival attraction selections will no longer be a default offering to every DAS guest. So it seems to be on a, there'll be like a per need, per guest basis. Yeah. Current DAS guests will need to reapply. DAS party size max is 4, except for families. There's exceptions. And DAS enrollment eligibility increases from 60 to 120 days. Yeah. It looks like Disney will be working with Inspire Health Alliance's health professionals to help cast members when necessary to determine a guest's DAS eligibility. DAS is, this quote is, DAS is for guests who, due to a developmental disability like autism or similar, are unable to wait in line for a long period of time. And so what you would do is you would, it's similar to getting, I think it's a similar program. It's just they're using different terms. They're just kind of updating their terms and working with this Inspire Health Alliance.
So I did find the updated website for DAS.
Yes, on and both Walt Disney World and Disneyland, they have updated.
Yeah, and so I'm looking at it right now, and it looks like you will have to obviously go through Inspire Health to mm-hmm. get the DAS pass in between April 9th and June 17th before it becomes official and it turns over. You can do a virtual meeting with somebody at the resort to determine whether or not you are eligible to get it. The on-site accessibility services window will still be available. You can go to guest relations mm-hmm. until the 17th of June. And starting on the 18th, like you said, that's when things will turn over and you have to go through Inspire Health Alliance to get everything. The turnover or turning this over to an outside vendor, I'll be honest, it kind of worries me, right? Because the way that it's laid out and the way that the program was set up to be used is, so you talked a little bit about how in the last, I think the quote that I remember seeing, this was also on Scott's Twitter account, X account, whatever we're calling it, the artist formerly known as Twitter. He tweeted that I think in the last 5 years, the DAS requests had tripled, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Some number like that, yes.
Yeah. If I'm remembering correctly, I think that's what he posted. And what worries me is that in the last 4 years, we've gone through a global disabling event,
mm-hmm.
right? Where there are a lot more people that are disabled because of long COVID through different severities, right?
Correct.
Some mm-hmm. to the point where they have certain symptoms, to where some people can't leave their bed or are hospitalized because they got COVID at some point and they're trying to get past it, you know? And I remember when the pandemic first began, everything we knew about what COVID did to our bodies was originally a lot of respiratory issues, right? Like mm-hmm. we thought that it was just the cough, shortness of breath, muscle aches, you know, loss of smell and taste and stuff like that. And the brain fog was all associated with COVID at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that we learned about it over time, we found people were developing this long COVID thing. And more importantly, the virus itself kept mutating and spawning off with other symptoms, you know, that weren't part of that initial wave of getting COVID. So over time, the symptoms that people experience with long COVID now are like people can have POTS, which is when your heart rate increases very quickly after like you move or something, or it just goes from like, I don't know, your sitting rate is like 75 and it shoots up to like 140 all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. You have difficulty thinking, you know, the whole brain fog thing. You can't concentrate. There's early onset dementia now that's associated with decreased blood flow to the brain. Because it's a vascular disease, it causes blood clots, which causes that blood flow issue. It's spawning type 2 diabetes in children, sleep issues, migraines, vertigo, that weird like pins and needles feeling on your body because you don't have sufficient blood flow. The list goes on and on, right? Digestive system like issues, all you name it. I think right now there's over like 200 symptoms, and it just depends on the person and what the person may have had wrong and what like COVID attacked in their body, right? So the problem with this is that people suffering from long COVID are having a really hard time getting it diagnosed. Mm-hmm. And because they're having a really hard time getting diagnosed with it, getting a DAS pass is almost going to be impossible for them, because DAS is going to require you to be diagnosed with something in order to get it if you're going through Inspire Health Alliance, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not like, when you think about the number of people that are suffering from something like this, it's no wonder that Disney says that it's 5 times larger than it was, or 3 times more than it was 5 years ago. Like 5 years ago was right before the pandemic began, right? So it makes sense that since then, more people have issues and more people are requesting it. Granted, social media may also have something to do with this, because we're all aware of the accounts that are chasing clout.
Yes.
That are always telling you the Disneyland secrets and the things to get away. And, you know, mm-hmm. there's all those videos where, like, if you wear a shirt that's inappropriate, Disney will give you a voucher for a shirt.
Yeah.
And what was once something special gets ruined because of things like this, right? Mm-hmm. So at some point, somebody may have posted a video or something where they said, hey, if you pretend that you have something wrong or say that you have this and this, you can get a pass to skip the line, or you can get a pass to this and this. Completely possible. However, we also know that roughly 3 in 10 people are reporting having long COVID, or they've reported having long COVID at some point. And roughly 1 in 10 people are reporting having long COVID right now. There's an estimated 17 million adults with long COVID right now in the US. 79% of them say that they have activity limitations. 25% report that it affects their activities to a point where they can't even get out of bed. Mm-hmm. Right. So on top of the fact that this goes undiagnosed, there's already other diseases that are out there that are considered like hidden disabilities. Right. Like when you yeah. think of mental health conditions, chronic pain, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, Crohn's disease, lupus, like all of these diseases don't necessarily have a face, right? Mm. They don't look the same on everybody. Like people that have them suffer from these things in much different ways than somebody else does. But you can't dismiss what that person is feeling while they are suffering from it. Like two people could have the exact same thing wrong with them, but the severity of how they feel it can be two totally different levels.
Totally.
And so if you have one of these diseases, now including long COVID, and you can't prove to Alliance Health that you have it because you don't have a diagnosis, or your doctor keeps giving you a runaround, or you can't, like, they don't know how to diagnose it because all your labs look great. We don't know what's wrong with you, which is a story that many people are far too familiar with, especially over these last 2 years. It makes going to the park even more difficult. These changes, I understand, are going to help Disney mitigate the amount of people that abuse it. But at the same time, I feel like it's really going to hurt the amount of people that have the ability to go to the park with these accommodations in place now.
I'm just really interested in, are we submitting paperwork to them, or I don't know.
So here's where a lot of this, I think we will learn in when people try and use this, because here's according to the Disneyland website in the how it works section. I will just read it verbatim so we can, you know, go from there. It says, step one, register. There are two ways for guests to have a conversation with a cast member to determine eligibility for DAS. One, live video chat, or two, on-site at an accessibility services window. Step two, request a return time. After you've registered and entered the theme park, you can request a first return time. Step three, enjoy the park, blah, 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 blah. So there's what it looks like is there's a pre-arrival, and I think this has existed in some form already, this pre-arrival thing. And I think they're just kind of adjusting some language. I don't know. I've not looked at this website prior to today, so I don't know what the exact terms were prior to this. But from what I can tell, there's no, like, it doesn't say anywhere in here about needing, you know, the health thing says when cast members need assistance. Like, it's basically like if they have somebody that's trying to scam them, they'll bring it video chat in with somebody from this health thing and you know, ask some more questions. Again, I don't have firsthand experience with this, so I don't know what has happened prior and what's going to happen now, but I'm hoping for the best. I'm hoping that people that actually need this, if they can, you know, have a conversation with a cast member and be like, hey, like, I suffer from long COVID, or I, you know, and so I can't stand for more than 15 minutes or whatever, or I suffer from fibromyalgia and my, you know, back has this pain and I can't stand for more than 10 minutes at a time, or what have you, the thing is, even if it's not necessarily like a, like, I have this piece of paper, because I believe that's, I don't. Again, there's also like limits to what they can like ask for officially, because of
HIPAA.
HIPAA. Yeah, exactly. So it's all just like an interview process, and there I'm sure there will be certain questions that will guide, you know, without asking too much information, and you know, you only have to give what you're comfortable with, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And HIPAA, again, like, there's a lot of stuff like HIPAA, like, you can divulge anything you want. Like, they can ask you a question and you can divulge it or not. Like, that's, you know, there's all kinds of weird things with HIPAA that I think people understand. It's mostly to protect your doctor from telling people stuff, right? From your medical stuff.
Yeah. And to protect the patient's privacy.
It's basically protect your privacy. So if you want to divulge your stuff, you're more than welcome to. But again, so I don't know. And the website is very vague when
very
it comes
vague.
To these terms and who, you know, it says that the wording that they use, it seems, you know, it says for guests due to a developmental disability like autism or similar is the wording that they use for this particular service. And now I don't know if that wording was there prior to this. If it wasn't, except, you know, there's all kinds of things that I need to, like, open up the Wayback Machine and look at it from yesterday and see what the differences are for this website and the wording so we can compare. But I'm trying to be hopeful that the cast members who are actually going to be the ones determining this will understand the differing abilities of all kinds of people, you know, of all kinds of ability and all kinds of things, not just, you know, kids with autism or similar, or people in general with autism or similar, but there's also other, like you said, Hazen, other disabilities and differing abilities that will limit somebody's ability to stand in a long line or be around a bunch of people for a long, you know, in a close thing, and et cetera, et cetera. So, here's hoping for the best. That's all we can do, right?
We could, but for me, okay. So I've spoken out loud, you know, I've talked about it. I do have a mental illness. I could tell you right now, the one line that kind of stuck out with me was you like having to talk to someone. Mm-hmm. That right there, I already got anxiety just thinking about it, because you could be thinking, like, you know, the rejection. That's the hardest part. And the everything is so vague. It's like, well, wait a minute. Who's to say, like, if we're explaining to them and they don't think it's deemable? I mean, there's cases where people have it really, really bad. And let's say the next person behind me doesn't have anything. We're just going to say, like, they're going to try to get whatever they can.
They're a good actor.
Yes. Yeah. So who's to say, like, that's the part where I'm kind of like, how are they going to determine if you could get one or if they do, because they may be a better actor. So that's why I'm so I'm concerned about this. I'm interested. And yeah, I do think that they're going in the right direction with talking to health professionals. I guess we're going to see how it goes, but that's to me, the one thing I'm like, wait. So
we'll find out in May and June when this stuff starts going into effect, and hopefully that the health professionals that they are talking to are brushed up on all health care and all, you know, things that are going on, because, you know, some doctors and stuff, they're like, oh yeah, I stopped learning about stuff in 2015. Who cares about anything after the Eisenhower administration? Like, I don't
know. I mean, I'm glad you're bringing that up, though, because it is, you know, knowing what people go through and experiencing what people go through when trying to alleviate long COVID symptoms or trying to find solutions to things that are wrong, that are difficult to diagnose, right? Not having that uncertainty when you're speaking to a cast member, one of the concerns that also comes up for me is the blatant denial of what people with long COVID are going through right now, and the idea that COVID is just the flu, right? The fact that some people got COVID and were able to get over it better than others were, and, you know, continue to live their life in a very similar manner that they did before, isn't everyone's experience, right? And so the fact that there are so many people that just blatantly deny it or think it's some conspiracy or make fun of it is one of the things that worries me when it comes to how this is going to be handled, especially, like I said, if you don't have any kind of official diagnosis for something like that. And the ironic part is that Alliance Health, or Inspire Health Alliance, was the same company that helped Disney with the COVID protocols when the pandemic was at its height, right? So they have some experience with it. How they're going to treat that, I don't know. Now, we could wait until June when all of this kicks in, but if this is supposed to emulate what's already in place at Universal, I want to put the question out to people. If you've gone to Universal or know somebody that's gone to Universal and has had to access this type of service there, and you've had to go through the process of getting it, I would love to hear what that experience was like. If you can share that, send us a message. We don't have to share your name or any details, but if you could share what the experience was like, it would give us an idea of what we could be seeing coming to Disneyland and Walt Disney World in a couple of months. So, yeah, I mean, it's a really difficult thing for us to predict. You know, I've never had to use the DashPass before, but I can tell you that some of the limitations that I had over the course of the last couple of years, the times that I've gone to the park, I didn't get a DashPass, but I damn sure did get Genie Plus. You know, I paid the extra $20 or whatever per attraction so that I didn't have to stand in line as long as I normally would have been able to hold off, you know, doing it. Entire Disney marathon days, not the same. I can't hang, you know, just can't do it right now. So it's going to be interesting to see how this is handled, how it evolves, and how it changes, because it is going to make the park going experience a little more difficult for people that are already having a difficult time and choose to go to the parks.
Yeah.
So,
but on the bright side, I was like, we're ending like really low. On the bright side, bad people are not going to step into the parks anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yay. 100%. I mean, that's, I mean, I want to say that that's true 100%.
Yeah.
But I know. It happens anyway,
yeah.
Right?
But it's, yeah. Just with everything, when they change something, there's going to be hiccups, there's going to be bumps in the road, and hopefully they are at least on a path to creating something that is equitable and fair and works for the people that it needs to. That's all we can hope for. Hopefully that is what they're striving for and what this system will eventually accomplish.
Yeah. Hear, hear.
Yep.
That couldn't have said it better myself. So. All right. Anything else before we wrap up this conversation?
I don't think so. I think you want to go to bed.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Hey, we have a new Quizneyland up. It was up a little late.
I got weird allergies in my voice. I sounded like James Earl Jones for a couple days, so I had to. I didn't record.
But I would have loved it because you know that Friends episode where Phoebe's all like, I got a cold, and she's singing Smelly Cat, and it sounds like, you know, it was basically that.
Yeah.
You basically could have recorded Smelly Cat and done Quizneyland, and it would have been like, wow, Andrew. Hey,
I should have. Now. You know, it was funny because I was at, you know, it was mostly just like affected my voice more than anything. And I was at work and I was just making noises because it was so different. It was something I wasn't used to. I was going, mom.
Next time, please send us a video singing Smelly Cat.
I'll record Smelly Cat and I'll do some Simba or whatever.
Simba. Everything the light touches is your kingdom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan, back to Cody Rhodes. Told you. No.
Back to WrestleMania. So.
No. And here comes Andrew with a chair.
Okay, but get your notepad. I got more stuff to talk about. I'm kidding. So I know it's been a weird long episode, especially throwing all that wrestling thing in there. I'm telling you, cinema. If you were into wrestling as a kid, I recommend at least going back and looking at all the highlights that led up to that match. Watch the Cody match. Watch all the excitement that happened. You don't have to get into it again, but if you've ever loved it before, that is the match to watch. Watch the highlights of the tribal chief as, you know, the longest reigning champion. There was a documentary about Bray Wyatt. Oof. Talk about boo-hooing. It's, oof. Listen, my brother told me when the documentary came out. I know I wasn't going to talk about wrestling.
Wrestling. You're like, we're wrapping brother, up anything else, by the way. My brother said.
Let me just say this. So my brother told me, hey, the Bray Wyatt documentary is out. I was like, oh, I got to watch it. And I didn't watch it the day that it was out. I watched it the next day. And I made the mistake of listening to it as I was working on something. But I was preparing to go into a meeting in the morning. So I'm watching it before I go to work. And 4 minutes before I'm supposed to be in an on-camera meeting, I'm like, oh my god, oh my god, because it was so emotional, and it wasn't a good experience. So, if you get emotional about stuff like that, or if you love Bray Wyatt, don't watch it before you're gonna go do something important, because you're gonna look like you're boohooing.
you're gonna look for crybaby.
Podcasters.com/gear. Foolish mortal. That's it. We're ending it. It's time for bed. It's late. Until next time. Keep dreaming, keep moving forward, and always remember to pass on the magic. Have a fantastic week, everyone.
Bye.
See ya.
Part of the Podcateers Network.